Thank you so much, Workman family. Well, it is a blessing to have the Whetstones with us. Dr. Whetstone is president of Worldwide New Testament Baptist Mission, and we have quite a relationship with them, not only because they're right here in our city, but a number of our missionaries are with their board. A number of our ladies work for them, and we've appreciated that relationship. Probably the thing I admire the most about them is they don't just give lip service to the local church. When they say they work with the local church, they mean that, and I'm grateful. We tried to get Dr. Whetstone last year, and he couldn't work it out, and so we scheduled him for 2013, I'll get that right, and Pastor Surrett called and said, we can't get him, do you want him for the next year? Yes, and I'm thrilled that he is able to be with us. You'll be challenged by the preaching of the Word of God. Been a pastor and a missionary, he's traveled now for years across America. We do have a grave error in his biographical sketch, however. It only says 13 grandchildren, and he's actually got 14. You don't mess with a man's grandchildren. So, brother, I'm really sorry about that, but I think Naomi sent it to me, so it's probably her fault anyway. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Pastor, and it's a delight to be here with you, and there's one great-grandchild as well. Not that we're counting. I've been privileged to preach a lot of missions conferences, but I've never preached one yet that I like the hotel as much as I do this week. It's about as comfortable as we can get, actually, in a hotel setting. We're staying home, for those of you. We don't do that very often. We had been in the house we've been in it about 12 years now, I think, but we were in it about 9 years, and our oven went out. I said, how? It just sits there. We only have a kitchen because it came with the house. The thing just sits there, and it just went kaput, gone. I said, this can't be. I could understand you wearing one out, but not sitting one out. It just sits there. But we don't get to come home very often, but we certainly enjoy it when we do. And it's certainly a pleasure to be here with you. We appreciate Pastor Surrett and serving on the board at Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions with us and the relationship that we've had for some time with a good many in this area, but a good many out of this church. Ladies working for us at the office. Chris keeps my grass cut so nobody knows I'm gone all the time. And I appreciate him. And we're looking forward to a good week together. I trust that the Lord will bless, that we will be open to Him and to what He has for us. I always want to be open to the Lord's leading, don't you? I believe I'm in the Lord's will. I think I am. I've been serving full-time with Worldwide now for 28 years, and I believe I'm where the Lord wants me to be today. But that's no guarantee for tomorrow. And so anytime I want to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and ask Him to direct me and guide me, because as surely as I believe I've been in the will of God in the past, I want to be in His will in the future as well. And so I hope that through these days you will be attuned to the Lord. I pray that He will speak to us in definite tones so we'll know just exactly what He wants us to do in our lives. And sometimes, you know, we know the Lord is speaking, we know the Lord is working, we just don't know the specifics. But the Lord's patient, isn't He? And so we don't have to get nervous about the Lord getting upset with us as long as our hearts are open to His leadership. And I trust that'll be the case this week. Perhaps someone will be saved by the grace of God. That'd be wonderful. Perhaps some will surrender to full-time Christian service. That'd be great. And perhaps all of us will be drawn to a closer walk with the Lord. And that would be wonderful as well. So plan to be in all the services. I haven't talked to my wife specifically about this, but we plan to be here every service. And we're visiting. Amen. So I hope you will plan, the Lord willing, to be here for every single service. Would you turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the book of John and chapter 3. The book of John and chapter number 3. I know there's a hesitancy to turn when someone says John chapter 3, because it's a very familiar chapter in the Bible to us. And so when I announce the text, you'll be even more hesitant to look at it. But let's do look. John chapter 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you begin to understand how privileged we are in America? And especially, I suppose, in the southeastern part of the United States. As far back as I can remember my father, I can remember the name of Jesus Christ. As far back as I can remember my mom, I can remember the name of Jesus Christ. My father was an unsaved man till he was 59 years old. But he insisted that we go to church. He would take us, and then when my sister and I were old enough to go on our own, he would send us. But it was very important to him, for whatever reason, that we go to church. The church that I grew up in did not teach courses on theology, but salvation was plainly taught and preached. And so from the time I was a child, I understood that the Bible taught that I was a sinner, that Jesus Christ came to die for my sins, that if I would trust him as my Savior, turn from self to him, he would save me by his grace. I understood that. Now, if I never learned anything else about the Bible, I would be rich knowing that. Because most of the world tonight resides in absolute darkness. Because all of my life I've known something of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's hard for me to grasp the idea that someone could be born, live 50, 60, 70 years and die, and never one time hear a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's just almost more than I can drink in. And probably it would be even more difficult to me had I not been to many of the places in the world where that darkness still resides. By the millions, they are out there. By the tens of millions, hundreds of millions, they are out there. Men and women will die tonight in old age and go to a grave, having never one time had an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Can you fathom that? Can you drink that in? I read a verse to you that probably every single one of us in this room could quote. We've learned it from the time we were a child until whatever age you are now. If you didn't know anything else about the Bible, you probably knew Genesis 1:1 and John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Enough gospel to save the whole world if we could get it to them. Well, you might think, well, Brother Whetstone, you know, we can't get the gospel to the whole world. Well, you see, if I thought that, I wouldn't say it out loud. Because can you imagine how disappointed God would be if he found that out? I mean, he thinks we can. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not just a blanket and hit masses, but to every individual. We're to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and preach it unto them. The world, Kettle says, the world is a place where all creatures dwell. All of humanity in this world that we're living in, they tell me there's over 7 billion people. I don't know. I think there's that many in Beijing. It says 7 billion people, more than 7 billion people in the world, which is a number that's kind of hard for me to grasp. Let's just say it's a lot of people. And chances are, out of that 7 billion, chances are at least 2/3 of them have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Christ. But listen to this. among the 7 billion souls, there's somewhere between 192 and 200 countries. Among these almost 200 countries, there's over 6,800 living languages. There are some that are no longer spoken, but there's over 6,800 living languages. Among the 6,800 living languages, 422 of them have a completed translation of the whole Bible. Now, that doesn't mean it's a good Bible. It could be a translation of Good News for Modern Man. But it is a translation of something that someone would call a Bible. So I don't know how many good translations there are among that 400 plus. But let's just take the whole number. Let's just assume that just over 400 languages have a good copy of the Word of God, the complete Old and New Testament. Another 1,079 have the New Testament. It could be a good translation, a bad, could be a paraphrase. But another 1,079. Another 876 have at least one book of the Bible translated. Another 2,983 out of that 6,800 have absolutely not one word of the Bible translated into their language that they can read. Almost 3,000 languages in the world today have not one verse that they can read. Can you imagine? I have more than 50 copies of the Bible. Electronically, I have even more, but I have at least 50 copies of the King James Bible in my home. At any given moment, I can open the Bible. I can turn on my phone. I can turn on my iPad. I can turn on my computer. I can have the Word of God in front of me at any given moment in a language that I can read and understand. And yet multitudes tonight do not have one verse of the Bible. If I said to them, turn to John chapter 3 and verse 16, no Bible to turn to. My wife was teaching some ladies in on the island of Pohnpei in Micronesia back in February. And she asked them to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. The lady translating for her said, I will have to translate it for them. We don't have the book of Ecclesiastes. I was talking to Brother David Edens, who's been on the edge of the Sahara Desert probably 35 years. And Brother Edens worked some 25 years to translate the Bible for the Tuareg people, a nomadic people in the Sahara Desert. He's had a radio program on the radio station in the town that he's living in for 15 or 20 years maybe. And this is primarily a Muslim area, but they've given him time on the radio where he can preach the gospel of Christ. He said that since he completed the scriptures and they have had it distributed among them and they can actually read it, he is seeing far more people saved. Now, not great numbers, but he's seeing far more people saved now than he ever saw saved before, because they can follow him when he's preaching over the radio. They can follow him in the Word of God. He can go out to their encampments, put his tent up, and go around to the different tents and deal with people, and they can actually sit there and read the Word of God for themselves. If it's difficult to reach a people who have the Word of God, how impossible must it be to reach a people that have none? Where are the young men that will rise to the occasion and will say, by the grace of God, I will learn the language. I will take linguistics training. I will translate the Word of God so that this people group who's resided in darkness and had no Word of God can finally have it. No, we have young men smart enough to do that, who will give enough duty and work and labor to see to it. You say, well, David Edens, he spent 25 years translating the Bible and getting it printed and published for people. Yes, he did. Now, he went on with other things. He started a church. He had a radio ministry. He did other things. But what if he did nothing? What if he did nothing but translate the Bible? Every generation from now on will have a good copy of the Word of God that they can read. Would it not be worth a lifetime? I saw him just after he had it published, and he was carrying it in his arm. You'd have thought it was a newborn baby or something that he held so precious. I mean, that embodied much of his life. But there have to be other David Eatons out there who will rise to the occasion and say, by the grace of God, I will give a language group the Word of God. Brother O'Malley made a trip to Iraq 2 or 3 years ago. Time flies when you have as much fun as I do. I can't keep up with the years. But it hadn't been terribly long ago. And they met with some Kurdish people in the country. And there was an Iraqi guy who spoke Arabic, and he had a Bible, a good translation of the scriptures he could read. But his wife didn't know Arabic. She had no Bible that she could read. And he pled with them, won't you find someone that can translate the Bible so my wife can read the Bible as I do? If this is the case concerning the scriptures, I say to you, it only highlights the need that is in the world today of multitudes of people who are residing in darkness waiting for someone to come and simply turn the light on and say, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I challenge you young men who are involved in the ministry or preparing to be involved in the ministry, don't let the bickering and fussing so tie you up that you can't get to the busy and important business of getting the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who are going to hell without God. We spend too much of our effort, too much of our money, and too much of our time on things that will mean nothing in eternity, while people around us are dying and going to a devil's hell from which there is no rescue. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. How many? Every man. Of the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them rose again. So how many did Jesus die for? He died for all the dead ones. So if He didn't die for everyone, evidently some are born not dead. And yet Paul said to the Ephesian believers that all were born dead in trespasses and in sins. So if all are born dead in trespasses and sins, and Jesus died for all the dead ones, then I say to you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And we could go down through the scriptures tonight of individual after individual after individual and show how God saves people from all kinds of backgrounds. Nicodemus, Paul, Cornelius, the woman taken in the very act of adultery, the woman at the well. I love that story. When Jesus said to His disciples, you know, He said, I must needs go through Samaria. They said, it's pretty dangerous. He said, I'm going to have to go anyway. They said, okay, we'll go with you. And so they get down to the well, and He sends them on in to the city, remembered. He said, go get some thick sliced bologna and some Colby cheese and fresh bread, mayonnaise, mustard. Get some vine ripe tomatoes, salt and pepper. And those thin fried Lay's potato chips. And some caffeine-free Diet Coke. Well, He sent them into the city because He had a divine appointment. And here comes the woman. He says, would you get me a cup of water? And she said, you would ask of me water? Well, He said, if you knew who you was talking to, you'd ask of me and I'd give you water and you'd never thirst again. She said, I'd love to have it. Well, he said, you go back to the town and get your husband, bring him back, and I'll give it to both of you at the same time. She said, I don't have a husband. Well, he said, that's true. You've had five, and the one you're living with now is not your own. Listen, if you've picked out five and you hadn't got the right one yet, the problem might not be them. I just give up. She said, I perceive that thou hast been reading my mail. Well, actually, she said, I perceive thou art a prophet. And so she did what every sinner wants to do. Once we're backed into a corner concerning our sin, she wanted to argue religion. Your fathers say, worship in Jerusalem. Ours say, worship in these mountains. And the Lord Jesus said, the Father is seeking those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth, wherever they are. She said something that was amazing. She said, we know Messiah cometh. Who would ever thought this woman had any thoughts of the Messiah or knew anything about theology at all? She said, no, we know Messiah cometh. He said, I'm here. She said, I believe it. Left her water pots and went into the city and told the men in the city, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. I bet that shook some guys up. Probably a good many men said to their wives, it could be dangerous. You wait here. But eventually a good many in this city will get out and they will hear from him themselves, and many will be converted by the grace of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You see, it seems to me that we have three groups of people. We have believers, we have whosoevers, and we have theys. Whosoever believes will be saved. But then he talks about a group called they. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You say, yes, but Brother Weston, you just got through telling us that everyone was a whosoever. Yes, everyone is a whosoever, but of what value is that if you don't know it? What if no one ever comes along and says, hey, you're a whosoever? Oh, no. No, I'm just a they. No man cares for my soul. So our duty and responsibility in this day, in this hour, is somehow to bridge the gap from they to whosoever. Because we know God loves the entire world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Big, ugly people too. He died for everyone. So how do we get from they to whosoever? Because it's certain we're never going to get from whosoever to believer if we can't first convince a fella, hey, you're a whosoever. So we're going to take this huge section of the world's population and say to them, you're not a they, you're a whosoever. And then we're going to say to them, as a whosoever, you could be a believer. So how do we bridge the gap between they and whosoever? He says, how shall they hear without a preacher? A proclaimer, someone to go and tell them the truth. How will these children in South Africa hear unless someone goes and teaches them the Bible stories? And she's a pretty good preacher. How are they going to know? You say, it's pitiful, Brother Whetstone, that they have no parental guidance and they have no food. That is pitiful. It's more pitiful that they die and go to hell without somebody warning them. There's a better way. There's not just better food, there's a better way. And we'll teach them those Bible stories, and hopefully those stories will filter into the home, and perhaps even parents will come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior as well. But that can be duplicated over and over again. How shall they hear without someone coming to proclaim? Are you available? Are you surrendered? Well, you say, well, yes, no need. I don't need to surrender to go to missions. I mean, God hasn't called me. Then why are you afraid to surrender? I mean, he's not going to call you anyway. Amen? I'm convinced of this. Every single one of us ought to be surrendered to do anything. So when the call comes, we don't have to surrender. We just have to obey. I don't understand piecemeal surrender. Well, I'll surrender to do this. I'll surrender to do this. How about we surrender to do anything? Lord, I'm available to do your will, whatever you want me to do. Give me clear direction and I will be obedient to what you have for me. Are you prepared to be one that will go and share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who have not heard? I mean, what better thing could we do with life? If God would so bless us and so endow us with the calling and the leadership of the Holy Spirit to go and spend our lives telling a people who have not heard, there is a way that you can get to God, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me! For I am undone. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I. Send me. And he said, Go. Tell this people, hear ye indeed and understand not, see indeed and perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, the houses without man, the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Isaiah had his sins forgiven and immediately his ears opened. When the angel of the Lord touched his lips and said, Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged, he said, Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, You think the Lord hadn't been talking? Do you think that there could be billions going to hell tonight and God's not talking about it? Or is it more likely that we're standing ear deep in the world and can't hear him? But when the sin is confessed and the heart is cleansed, the ears open, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah said, I'll do it. Would you imagine someone standing next to him said, Where are you going? I don't know. What are you going to do? I have no idea. How long will you be gone? Not sure. How successful will you be? I don't know. Then why did you volunteer? I think Isaiah would say, because he asked me to. Isn't that enough? He asked me to. You say, well, you know, I would go, but I can't. My daddy used to say, can't, never, could do nothing. No, I can't. We can do anything God wants us to do. Anything God wants us to do, we can accomplish. So Isaiah said, Here am I, send me. And you know what the Lord said? Go. I said, well, that's wonderful. He said, How many thousands will we see saved this first year? The Lord said, No thousands this first year. Hundreds? No hundreds this first year. Tens? The Lord said, Isaiah, the truth is you're going to preach your heart out and they're not going to pay any attention to you. Wow. Isn't that exciting? So Isaiah said, okay. How long? He said, till there's no man to tell. The response of the world has nothing to do with the responsibility of the Christian. It's our duty to take the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether they pay any attention to it or not. Do you know what I think Isaiah did on this particular day? I think he took out a piece of paper and he said, Lord, I'm going to sign this contract with you and you fill my life in however you want to. Do you trust God enough to sign a blank contract with him? You know something that amazes me about a lot of Christian people? They talk so proudly about how they trust God with their eternal lives, but somehow never get around to trusting him with their temporal lives. And I'm wondering, can we really have confidence in the eternal if we have none in the temporal? So I just don't know how God will make a way. He said to Moses, he said, Moses, I've got a job for you. And Moses said, I'm sorry, but I can't talk. Well, he said, I'll give you Aaron. He said, okay. And then Moses never did shut up long enough for Aaron to say anything. We can do anything God wants us to do. So how shall they hear without a preacher? First thing we have to do to bridge the gap from they to whosoever is we need some that will go and proclaim. We need some to surrender to go. We'll surely say more about that this week. Then he says, secondly, he said, how are they going to go unless they be sent? So we need some senders. We need some that will dig down and say, by the grace of God, I will commit myself to help those who have been called to get to the mission field. He said, well, Brother Whetstone, if we need goers and givers, which one am I? Yes. Yes, you're both. We're all goers and givers. You go to King's Mountain. You go to Charlotte. You go in this area. You give so others can go where you cannot get to. They go and they give so others can go to places they can't get to. I can tell you, I've tried to be in more places than one at one time for most of my ministry. And I'm telling you, you cannot do it. You can be in one place, that's it. I've tried. I feel like sometimes it would be wonderful if you could just pull yourself apart and go in every direction at one time. I heard this preacher up in Tennessee years ago. He's got coon dogs. And he was telling about him having the best coon dog in the whole country. He said he's so good that when I take him out hunting, I have to tape one nostril up. Because he said, if he got after two coons at the same time and they parted ways, he'd tear himself half in two going after both of them at the same time. Well, I know he's lying, but undoubtedly you feel that way sometimes. You see a need here and you want to be there, and you see a need here and you want to be there. I don't understand in this environment a Christian who can't find something to do. I bump into preachers sitting around churches that can't find anything to do. With the whole world going to hell and we can't find anything to do. I think a lot of people who claim to be looking for the will of God are actually hiding from the will of God. We need goers. We need givers. And we will definitely say more about that as these days go on. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know how we sitting here in America can identify with the theys of the world. But I can tell you this with certainty. If you could meet them, you'd love them. If you could meet them, you'd love them. And it would be easier for you to see how God cares for their souls as well. I know there are places all over the world that aren't like us, don't look like us, don't sound like us, don't have the same politics. I tell people wherever I go, if you'll not judge me by my politicians, I won't judge you by yours. Because I don't know a politician in the world that accurately represents the people he's supposed to be representing. What most of the people of the world know about America, they either learn from Washington or Hollywood. And neither represent the real America. And so it is in other parts of the world as well. Most people just want to be people. And we can reach them with the gospel of Christ if we will go. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you do at least these two things for me this evening? Would you consider the possibility of signing a blank contract with God? And would you consider the idea that the result is not anything you have to worry about? All you need do is serve, and God will handle the result. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father,